In August, NESRI's Human Right to Health Director, Anya Rudiger, interviewed Christine Kaufman, Montana State Senator and longtime director of the Montana Human Rights Network. In the interview, Senator Kaufman speaks to her experience of developing Montana's increasingly influential Human Right to Healthcare campaign.
I'm talking with State Senator Christine Kaufman, who's also the former director of the Montana Human Rights Network. And I'd quite like to know how this whole Human Right to Healthcare campaign started in Montana, and it's really taken off, and that's my impression. So, Christine, you were instrumental in making that happen. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, as director of the Human Rights Network for 18 years now, and very recently moving on from that, the Human Rights Network was sort of a traditional human rights organization in the United States, I would say, working on civil and political rights. And we were challenged along the way by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and, came to understand that it was as much or more about, social and economic rights as well as civil and political rights. And so as we began to expand our understanding of human rights, we came to see that things like wages and health care and those kinds of everyday issues of that Montanans face were part of the human rights framework, and that we could have perhaps more impact on people's lives by working on those issues in Montana. And so we shifted our focus really in many ways to looking more broadly at what does it mean, what do human rights mean in Montana. In my dual roles as both a director of a nonprofit that's working on healthcare as a human right and a state senator, I found that transition beneficial to both of those roles. As a director of a human rights organization, I had access to decision makers and the media, and so I felt like I was able to have a particular voice in this discussion that no one else really could. And as a state senator, having gone through my years as directing a human rights organization, I feel like I was able to bring that perspective to my legislative work. So I found that really worked well in terms of having a voice and more of an impact on this issue in Montana.
And as a senator, can you actually talk human rights language in the state senate and to your voters? Does that work at all?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. During the campaigns, I put out materials both involving wages and human rights issues, other economic, and I use human rights language. I don't just say, this is about, charity or giving to the poor or anything like that. That, I use human rights language in my in the way I talk. It's become ingrained in me through my work. And in the legislature, I think sometimes people hear, it shocks them just a little bit to hear human rights language, because that's not the normal way we talk. But occasionally I'll hear it coming back to me. So I introduced legislation this last session that would have required a public referendum on healthcare as a human right. And although the legislation did not advance, the people who came to testify in support of it, the proponents to the bill, certainly used human rights language in the testimony, and I didn't get a whole lot of support. It was a novel idea to advance such a thing, but as it with many legislative proposals, you start somewhere and you keep working at it over time, and that's how you build support. And so we're considering a little bit whether to do a citizens initiative where we actually gather signatures for such a project. And we're looking at what kind of sort of organizational commitment could we bring to bear, not only Human Rights Network, but all other progressive organizations across the state, and would that really have any legs, and could we be successful? And with the Human Rights Network's history of working on ballot campaigns, we think we're situated to do that well, but there's a lot of pieces yet to, in terms of pulling together the allies for that.
And you've started working with local folks as well in the county and with the city commission. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the city commission has adopted a resolution declaring healthcare to be a human right and looking at what it would mean to implement a universal system. And again, that's also in early stages, but you know, they're conducting kind of a needs assessment and have a variety of processes in place. And I think clearly shows where you'd start talking about it, and then the language catches on. And so you see people on the county health board using human rights language and being willing to push that language out at least a bit into the community. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen locally, but I think it's a little more hopeful than the national scene. And it's, you know, the national scene is a bit discouraging, but perhaps we can be more hopeful and try more innovative things locally if we can get past this idea that it is a national solution is all that can solve this. You know, in Canada, it started locally, you know, with a provincial thing. I would love for Montana to be the Alberta? No, I can't remember.
Saskatchewan.
Of the United States by saying, you know, it could happen here. And there's some, you know, I think there's some advantages that Montana would have. You know, it is a small population and a logical pool to say, let's just all be in this together and perhaps we can provide a model that way to the nation. You know, one of the interesting things is this happens to be the local community of Senator Max Baucus, one of the people who probably the most critical player, unfortunately, in this national debate. I say unfortunately because I do think he is carrying this idea of bipartisanship way too far and willing to make concessions. The fact that there is a local, Senator Baucus's local community is taking these steps provides us with a little bit more wedge. He certainly is hearing from his constituents across the state as well as locally about single payer as the best method for implementing the human rights principles. You know, again, what kind of impact can we have? The story's not quite done yet. And if things either fail or are unsatisfactory nationally, I think that does not stop everything locally and in the state. And I hope to be part of that discussion.
And at the both at the national and at the local level, we talk a lot about that treating healthcare as a human right entails a certain government obligation, a responsibility for publicly funding and administering healthcare for everybody, so there can be equal access. Do you feel that conflicts with some of what we would think as Montana being maybe more of a libertarian state, or is there something like a community spirit there that actually lends people to see themselves as each other's neighbors that should take on some responsibility for the people who can't afford it?
You know, there is a conflict there between the sort of libertarian attitudes in Montana, but sometimes I think more is made of that. I think there are enough people in Montana that are willing to say, we've tried everything else, and the government involvement needs to be there. You know, certainly I wouldn't say they represent as yet the majority of Montanans, but again, you keep talking about it, and I think stuff begins to build, activities begin to be generated. I think if we're unique in some ways, it's a progressive history. You know, lots of union organizing for over a century in Montana, and I think we'll build on that kind of progressiveness rather than the libertarian bent to mm-hmm. see this through. And I think we'll find it.
That's interesting. Yeah. Do you have any advice for legislators in other states that might want to work on the human right to health care?
Well, I guess I would be, you have to not be afraid to kind of be out there on the edge of the debate. And when you are out there, you leave room behind you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to direct everything that comes mm-hmm. in behind you because you probably won't like it that, that much. But just by being out there and being willing to say, you know, I'm going to be maybe a lonely voice for a while, other things are going to happen, and it kind of pulls the debate in the right direction. And you know, maybe in the end, you know, you're 85 years old and looking back and you say, it didn't quite work the way I had hoped, you know, but something better happened that wouldn't have happened, you know, without that effort. And, you know, sometimes you have to buck your own party. You have to, of course, understand the politics of what that means. In order to be effective, you can't be entirely fringe. And I would say another piece of it as a legislator is to, you know, be involved with a grassroots activism, because if you can have somebody else out there even further than you, then you're not seen as the complete idealist, maverick, but ineffective. You know, to help, to do what you can to help organize the progressive flank. Allows you more room to operate. And so, you know, to understand that politically and be willing to go there, even if it costs you something, like you won't be elected leadership or something like that. You know, so it's maybe not the role for everybody, but it's the role for some of us.
Right. Thank you very much, Christine.
You're welcome.
For more information about the Montana Human Rights Network, visit their website at www.mhrn.org. That's www.mhrn.org. For more information about NESRI, the National Economic and Social Rights Initiative, visit our website at www.nesri.org. That's www.nesri.org.